Welcome into the final hour of this November the 13th, 2018 edition of The Huddle. I am Josh Phillips along with Lonzo as we are discussing all things sports. Ted got in with us. If you want to join the discussion, 844-477-3776 is the call-in line, or hit us up on the Health Dare text line. Text ESPN to 71307. Or hit us up on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Or hit me up at Coach_Phillips1. Some of you have done that. Ted got in, asked about a couple of kids that South Carolina has signed. Kevin Harris out of Hinesville, Georgia. Running back, 5'11", 229 pounds. Young man is a between-the-tackles thumper. He's going to need to get stronger to play that position in the Southeastern Conference, but he has a chance. He's going to be a developmental kid, and that's where Jeff Delman, the strength coach at South Carolina, is going to earn his money, is developing. Because, look, when Steve Spurrier was taking Georgia and Clemson to the woodshed, he had three or four five-star players and then developmental kids that they gradually brought along. It wasn't a team that was full. You know, Fred acted like, well, just because Georgia is in the top 10 in recruiting, that South Carolina can't ever beat them. Georgia's always in the top 10 in recruiting, and what have they won? Nothing. Nothing. They've been in the top 10 in recruiting for 40 years. Now, do I think Kirby Smart's going to change that? Yes, because I do like Kirby Smart. But Kevin Harris is going to be a kid that's going to have to be a developmental kid, Ted. Another one is Keyshawn Toney, the young man, the tight end out of Williston Elko. 6'3", 240 pounds. He's more of an inline blocker. Has really good hands. Reminds me of Keo Pollard, which will allow South Carolina to run the ball better out on the perimeter and some of their double tight stuff, which it looks like that's what they're headed with, two tight ends in the fold with him and Travion Kenyon, who is more of a pass-catching tight end out of Wake Forest, North Carolina. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in Bob. Bob, welcome to the huddle.
Hey, Coach. I wish I could have pulled this off. Because you ain't got but one. Actually, you ain't got but 54 minutes to blow your gasket, and you hadn't done it in 2 days. And so what I was going to try to do is go, yes, you did say they passed them, and but I'd have busted out laughing, and I couldn't have, I was just going to try to hold on long enough for you to blow your gasket, but I'd have busted out quick.
No, I said they had closed the gap. Big difference.
I know, but I was going to take his side for you to blow your gasket, but I couldn't have held it in. Anyway, I want to talk about this Clemson, South Carolina thing you guys are talking about.
Right.
I'm 54 years old, and back when I was in high school, of course, you know, Clemson had got one national championship, but, you know, they were good. They were good, not like they are now, but they were good. And South Carolina was better than they are now. So, you know, I remember every year it'd be a thing with all the Carolina fans and Clemson, who's going to win? Because you really never knew. If it was a 7-point spread, anything could happen. And so you never really knew. Clemson, of course, won most of them. But, you know, at least you had some doubt, which made it a fun week. Now it's not so much fun. So, you know, I would like for Carolina to be better, to make it a better rivalry. But not too much better, if you know what I mean.
Spoken like a true Clemson fan.
Listen, I want to thank Bob for this. I've been saying this forever, that you want your rival good, because
that's crazy.
No, that
both
makes,
of y'all are nuts.
No, that makes the rivalry so much better. When you beat you, I want my rival team undefeated when they come in. So when I beat them, you take so much more away from them.
No,
it makes the victory sweeter.
Yeah, but this is like I said. I want them good, but not that good. And I'll tell you one other thing too. I'm diehard Clemson. Everybody knows that. But I don't wear my fan cap. I call it like I see it, and I don't come in with all this crazy mess. It is what it is. And I will call it like this. I have in my entire life, I've never seen nothing like it. South Carolina fans are the most loyal individuals of any people I've ever known on earth. When Lou Holtz was there, they won zero games. Zero in one season. And they still packed the stands. At least till halftime, they packed the stands. They went there. If you went 0-1 forever at Clemson, the band wouldn't even show up. Those people just continue to go and go and go, and they're, you know, hoping for the miracle that one day, you know, they're going to be a top five team and stay there. And it hadn't happened, and I don't want it really to happen. I want them to be a top 10 team and us be a top five team, at least make it interesting, because I don't think it's interesting right now.
Well, no, it's not, Bob, and thank you for the phone call. It's not because there's such a talent gap that it's not even funny. It's not even funny. Now, is the talent getting better down in Columbia? Yes. And this was not meant to become a, you know, see, the fact that I'm having a discussion with South Carolina fans and Georgia and Clemson fans feel like they need to jump in a conversation that I'm having with Gamecock fans who I'm trying to talk off the ledge tells you all you need to know. I mean, why? Here's one thing. If you're Clemson and Georgia right now, why are you so obsessed with what the Gamecocks are doing? I see it on Twitter. I see it on Instagram. I see it all over the place.
But listen, Clemson fans are more happy talking about how bad the Gamecocks are than they are talking about how good Clemson actually is. I'm sorry. I don't get that. Well, I don't understand.
Well, now, I will say this. Because of the rivalry, and look, when South Carolina was beating Clemson 5 years in a row, they were sticking it to Clemson fans like crazy. That was when I was at, I think I was my second year in broadcasting, and I was on a minor Clemson station that doesn't have a whole lot of significance in the sports talk world, but it did in that locale, okay, because it was a Clemson station. And they just, it was doom and gloom around there. I mean, doom and gloom. I mean, there was people talking about firing Dabo Swinney after the third loss, straight loss. Let alone five. So, you know what? I don't mind the back and forth. It makes it fun. But what blows my mind is, I can tell you this right now. If Arkansas is competing for the national championship, I don't give a hoot and a holler what Texas is doing. I don't care. I don't care. If you're a Georgia fan, why do you care what the Gamecocks are doing so bad? Why? You're in the middle of a national championship run. What do you care? Because for a short amount of time, not a short amount of time, for a medium amount of time, South Carolina proved that with the right coach, with the right staff, they can compete at an elite level. And look, if Bill Snyder can make Kansas State an elite program. Now, they're not that way now. I mean, the man's 80 years old. He's run his time. If Kansas State can compete for Big 12 championships and be on the threshold of a national championship, you can compete for conference championships and national championships at South Carolina. You've got the facilities. You've got the backing. You got to have the right guy. And see, there's this misnomer that it's about the institution. It's not about the institution. It's about the leadership. Look at Alabama. There's no more built-in advantages than Alabama and Texas. And right now, Texas is irrelevant on the national championship scene. Irrelevant. The only reason Alabama is relevant is because they hired Nick Saban. Alabama was irrelevant for 15 years. after Gene stopped. They had, and I said this stat before, before Nick Saban got there, there was like a 15-year gap between Gene Stallings and Nick Saban. Do you know how many 10-win seasons Alabama, the great Alabama, had between Gene Stallings and Nick Saban? Two. Because they kept hiring bad hires after bad hires after bad hires. See, you can have all the built-in advantages from recruiting to tradition and all of that that you want, and it doesn't matter if you don't have the right guy. And there's no better point than 45 minutes down the road at Clemson. Clemson football was irrelevant on the national scene for 30 years. 30 years. Irrelevant. Yeah, they'd win 8 or 9 games and everybody would get excited about, you know, they'd start out 8-0 and then lose to Duke. Lose to Wake Forest. Because they didn't have the right guy. Georgia was irrelevant for 30 years with all of those top 10 recruiting class, with all of those facilities, with all of those tradition. Irrelevant until they got the right guy. And that's what people need to understand. Can you win at an elite level at South Carolina? You're dang right you can. But it's got to be the right guy. Now, is it more difficult? Yes. Are there inherent advantages at places like, is the turn easier at Clemson's and Georgia's and Alabama's and Texas's? Yes. Because of all of those built-in advantages. But let me tell you something. If Kansas State can be a top 10 program and win Big 12 championships, and if Georgia Tech can win the Orange Bowl and an ACC championship, you better believe the right guy can win in South Carolina. This is The Huddle at ESPN Upstate. So you're telling me Mexico is a no-go for the Monday night game, right?
There is a possibility because of field conditions, and they're trying to put down new sod right now and see if that'll fix it. But, I mean, they just showed the field on the screen on ESPN like a few minutes ago. It is horrible. It's a soccer field. You couldn't even see the lines for the soccer. I mean, it's
because
it looks
of all,
like
because mud. Of all the because of all the tents.
I don't get it.
I couldn't resist.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the mud is so bad. So we'll see if they. I wonder where they will put it if they move it out of Mexico City. They don't want to do that either because these international games they get a lot of money out of that.
Yeah,
and all
that
kind
stadium
of
holds like 150,000.
And this is such a marquee game because it's a possibility of this being a Super Bowl preview. So I mean, it's. I think they'll do everything possible to try to get it in there. But the other thing is, do you risk injury with new sod down? It will be down for, I don't know, 5 or 6 days. But do you risk injury playing on new sod? I mean, both these teams have some marquee players. Think about going there and getting hurt.
Well, and of course, I'm making the assumption that it's the same type of format as here in the United States, and that's a massive gap, and I probably shouldn't do that. But I'm assuming that the NFL will bring in their own people to take care of the field.
You would think so, yeah.
And so that way there should not be a problem. And I know we've been on talking about the Gamecocks, but they faced a similar thing when Beyonce had a concert. And they had to tear the. Now it is so interchangeable with these fields and artificial fields and grass and getting stadiums. Almost every stadium in the NFL that has natural grass hosts a concert at some point.
See, I just would be worried about footing. If you think about the game last night and see how much slipping was going on last
night.
I mean, I get why they don't want to play on this field because the field looked really, really bad.
Well, what they'll do is a rep for the NFL league office will walk the field several days, probably tomorrow, or this weekend to see how it's coming along. And then each team has an NFL player rep, and then they'll walk the field and determine on whether they're going to file a motion with the league that it's unsafe. Bet you didn't know that.
I did not.
The player reps can call off a game if field conditions are not suitable.
Has that ever been done before, though?
Yes. It happened in the Meadowlands between the Baltimore Ravens and, I want to say, the Jets. There was something going on with the AstroTurf. This was late, early 2000s when the old artificial turf was still there. And Tony Siragusa was the player rep for the Baltimore Ravens, and him and Brian Billick were walking the field, and literally chunks were coming up in the artificial turf, and Siragusa looked at Billick and said, "We're not playing on this." So then Billick then went to the league rep and the stadium coordinator and said, "Look, we've either got to get this fixed or my guys are going home because they're not going to play on this turf." So, yes, the players can veto their workplace environment. Yes, they can.
And I would guess that when Siragusa made a decision, that was it.
Yes, it was.
Probably not a lot of argument.
Yes, it was. It was actually an interesting – they were literally – the funny thing is I remember watching that on television, and I could not believe, because they told – Billick said, "Look, this field's not going to be ready." And then they literally were pulling up 4 foot by 4 foot chunks of AstroTurf out of the Meadowlands. And it's not the new AstroTurf. It was the old – I mean, you knew you were on it when you got in the shower and you started screaming. Because that old AstroTurf was no joke. It was like sandpaper.
You know, I think I played on some of that in college in a baseball stadium. And
awful.
Yeah, it was not good.
No, it's not. It's literally one level above concrete. It's concrete with a pad.
All right, here's how I don't know. I didn't actually play. I was on the sidelines. But people looked like they were getting hurt pretty bad. I didn't get in that game. So
yeah, we played in it, and I had a chance to play on it in high school and in college. And it's not fun. Although it was fun getting those shoes that had the little buds on the bottom of them. Those were hysterical. And you always felt like it was funny because you would see all the fat guys, the linemen, defensive linemen, out there running because it made you feel faster, even though you weren't. It just made you feel that way because of the springboard effect.
I was going to say, you probably seemed faster, but you were a linebacker, right?
Yes.
So you were faster.
Well, not much. Not much. I mean,
oh, come on.
No, I mean, I weighed 260 pounds and played Mike linebacker. All I did was make sure they didn't run the ball in the A and the B gap. Everything outside of that, it was the outside linebacker's responsibility.
So if you were playing in today's defenses and you were
asked
to cover,
I would be a defensive end or a tight end or a blocking tight end.
So you couldn't cover the tight end coming out?
No. I would not be playing linebacker in today's football.
You could have Matt Hopps. I don't know.
Then, not bad. Now, forget about it. I'm just glad to get out of bed.
It's not the hopping
every day.
Part now. It's you got to land.
Exactly. It's the coming down. And who was it, the NFL player? Oh, Saban put a no celebration thing on Tua, and that was the thing I was going to talk about, is this injury to Tua. It happened on a celebratory jump. 2 weeks ago, he was jumping in the end zone doing one of those, what do they call them, a chest bump?
Yeah.
And he came down and he tweaked his knee. And then after that, it was kind of funny because then Saban said, no more end zone celebrations. So then they just started shaking hands.
Yeah, act like you've been there, then you don't get hurt.
And then you don't. But, I mean, you're a well-trained, and you jumped maybe 3 inches off the ground doing a chest bump. I mean, those guys, it was probably a little higher. And you tweak your knee.
How many injuries have we seen where there's no one near someone? So, I mean, you know, it just it happens that way, unfortunately.
Didn't that happen to Mike Glennon? He was running out of bounds and went to stop and popped his knee.
Yeah, that stuff.
In Tampa.
Yeah.
Instead of just falling over. Crazy. If you want to join the discussion, 844-477-3776 is the call-in line. Hit us up on the Health Dare text line. Text ESPN to 71307 or hit us up on Twitter at ESPN Upstate.
Hey, you would like this. Sports Illustrated just tweeted, a man was arrested Sunday after allegedly taking a Florida football injury cart for a joyride. Drove over 2 miles away, leaving the cart parked outside a Circle K gas station.
Are you serious?
Sports Illustrated.
Did they find
it?
And I'm assuming they didn't find the guy.
I have to read the article. Obviously, they found the cart. Well, yeah, they know he's 26, so yeah, they had to find him. Yes, Parker Lee Prince was the guy's name.
So they did arrest him.
I'm sure they did. Is that Grand Theft Auto? We'll see.
On a golf cart? No, maybe.
Well,
just theft.
Parker damaged the cart's fender, causing an estimated $1,000 in damage. Parker was charged with criminal mischief and grand theft auto.
How is it grand theft auto of a cart?
Grand theft with property damage. Those carts are pretty expensive. I mean, how much does it have to be before it's grand theft auto?
You know, I've heard of people spending $30,000 on a golf cart.
Seen some nice ones, man, so it's a possibility. But it doesn't, say if alcohol was involved, but I'm guessing
I'm sure there was. Absolutely. It just depends on what it was. Was it brown, clear? It just depends on what it is. All right, back to this Heisman. I wanted to jump into this Heisman race. Because if Tua does come up lame, then who's going to win the Heisman? Kyler Murray right now is number two. I like that kid. Gardner Minshew, the quarterback out of Washington State. I mean, is it crazy on my part? He's thrown for almost 4,000 yards and 29 touchdowns. It's hysterical to me when they interview him. Have you ever heard him interviewed?
I have not.
He is from Jackson, Mississippi, and he's playing at Washington State. And I don't know what it is about hearing a deep South accent in a Washington State jersey that calls me humor.
Is it like hearing Patrick Mahomes talk? I mean, when the voice doesn't look like
no,
it belongs
it's,
to the
it's
person.
Worse. It's absolutely worse. It's absolutely worse. And Mississippians have a distinct Southern accent. It's not just Southern. There's a different dialect in Mississippi that's just different. The words are longer drawn out. I mean, it's just, it's different. I don't know how, but it's different. And when they interview him, and he set the world on fire with that Magnum P.I. mustache, did you see Mike Leach wear one in the post game? That was hysterical.
Yeah, did you see that he put it on
yes,
him?
Yes, that
and
was
Leach,
hysterical.
Leach freaked for a second because he didn't know what it was.
That was hysterical. Funny. I am pulling like mad that Washington State makes the playoff. If there's one team out there that I want to crash the playoff party, it's the college football playoff needs Mike Leach in it. Because you don't know what that guy's going to say. And could you imagine him in the fourth seed getting ready to play Alabama, the number one seed, and all we get is a whole month of Mike Leach taking shots at Nick Saban? This is the Huddle at ESPN Upstate. Welcome to the Huddle on this November the 13th, 2018 edition. I am Josh Phillips, sitting in for Greg McKinney, along with Lonzo. What happened to Tom Brady? I just saw a new. Did something come? Is he hurt?
I don't know. When I see him on screen, I just completely black it out. No, I didn't see it. I'll look it up.
Yeah, they had something about Tom Brady. And now, man, this drama between your Buckeyes and Zach Smith won't go away.
It will not.
And he won't let it go away. I mean, he's coming after everybody. And look, I understand there's bad blood. And even Eddie George, did you see Eddie George has come out blasting Ohio State and Urban Meyer?
I have not seen that.
Yes. Eddie George came out publicly and said he does not believe the football team has the same focus and has the same preparedness that they had earlier in the year. And now you've got Urban Meyer coming out. Now all of a sudden he's got health problems again. You know, it's funny how Urban's health problems coincide with when the football team's good and bad. I mean, you ask your players to be mentally tough. When do you ask the coaches to be mentally tough? And, I mean, it's not like Ohio State's bad. I mean, they only got one loss. They're one win away from the Big Ten championships. They're two wins away from going to the playoff. So everything's still in front of them. But this situation with Zach Smith, did you see how he's releasing text messages between him and Tom Herman with him covering for Tom Herman?
See, I didn't know about
that. Cheating on
his
wife.
And Sturge told me about that yesterday, and he's just a little too gleeful about it because he doesn't like Urban Meyer.
Well, look.
And so anytime he has that kind of stuff to impart to me, he seems to take joy in it.
Well, look, no affiliation with the University of Alabama can throw stones at any other university when it comes to probation, cheating, misappropriation. I mean, do we remember Mike Price in a hotel room yelling Roll Tide? And she wasn't even a she. But that's for another conversation.
I had forgotten all about that story.
I mean, so... I mean, I can't say anything
now
because
dude looks like a lady stuck in my head.
I know, right? Every time I think of Mike Price, I think about that song and Mrs. Doubtfire. And I'm like, look, I know Mike Price was old, and I know he had glasses, but I mean, was his ophthalmologist that bad?
I'm sure he went back and got him checked or switched and went to a new place.
Now,
sure.
Look, you want to talk about the all-time bonehead moves. Because had Mike Price signed that contract, Alabama would have owed him $10 million. But he literally let the contract sit for a week. And in the process, he's patronizing a Motel 6 with a said...
Maybe he couldn't tell because they didn't leave the light on.
If you want to join the discussion, 844-477-3776, or hit us up on the Health Dare text line, text ESPN to 71307. I'm trying to figure out how far I'm going to drive this thing in the ditch because we're in there. I'm enjoying mudding. I haven't been mudding in a long time. I wonder if anybody else in the country goes mudding.
You know what? I've never been mudding, but I think I'd have fun doing it.
You know, I did a part-time job. Well, it was a summer job for U.S. Bank. And I realized something. I had to go on like a 7-state spree. Ohio, from Eastern Ohio to Western Ohio to Southern Illinois, Northern Indiana, Southern Indiana, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
So you went the Big Ten Trail.
I did. I went the Big Ten Trail. I did not realize, you know, everybody likes to make fun of the South. And I didn't realize, wait a minute. Indiana and Ohio have just as many rednecks as we do.
Listen, I have a theory that there are rednecks in every country. There are Russian rednecks. They're everywhere. I mean, it's just it's a state of mind. It's not where you live. It's how you live, I think.
I mean, there were parts of Indiana I was nervous. Because I literally swear I saw the banjo player and the two hunters off Deliverance. And I was trying to get out of that town faster than quick.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking, you thinking that maybe, do I look like Ned Beatty? Do
and
I,
that was,
do I look
no!
Like Ned
Beatty? And I was making sure I didn't have anything that resembled a hog on my car as a Razorback fan. I mean, I was going 150 miles an hour to get the heck out of Indiana. This is Huddle at ESPN Upstate. Pickerington, Ohio wasn't that much better.
It's Pickerington, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Welcome into the final segment of the Huddle at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips along with Lonzo on this November the 13th, 2018. I hope everybody is safe from the cold and the rain. Hopefully the nastiness will subside, keep the people of California and all of those dealing with the wildfires in your thoughts and prayers, and help them out any way that you see fit. As we wrap up the show, anything because this will probably be the last time you and I do a show for the end of the year, I would expect. Anything that you're looking forward to over the holidays? And let me say a pre-happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas from my family to everybody out there.
If you're talking about sports-wise, I am hoping for and wishing for Kansas City making it to the Super Bowl, Ohio State beating Michigan, winning the Big Ten title, and getting into the playoffs. And if they don't do anything there, I'm fine with it. I just want them to beat Michigan. And I would like to see the Lakers actually start winning. But, you know, I think that part's starting to happen. So there are my sports wishes.
I'm okay with all of those except the last one. I hate the Lakers.
Well, you should. As a Boston Celtics fan, you should. But, you know, as you know, I go where LeBron goes. So now, now I'm back rooting for the Lakers. I've been there before when Shaq was there. But I think they're actually playing a lot better. I'm also looking forward to the NBA season heating up and seeing what happens, especially in the East, because you thought for sure that it was going to be this is going to be the Celtics to lose, and they haven't been playing as well as you thought they would. With the 76ers getting Jimmy Butler, that may change some things there. And with Kawhi Leonard being in Toronto, who's going to win in the East?
Yeah, I'm excited about the basketball season. There's a chance that I will be working the NCAA tournament again this year come March.
You get to see Zion up close.
Down in Columbia. Yeah, that would be nice. Not only that, I mean, it's an exciting time for Greenville because – our fair city will be hosting, I believe it's the SEC Women's Tournament this year at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. So you'll get to see the finest in, I mean, Mississippi State won the national title last year. South Carolina won it before that. So you'll be able to see all the premier basketball programs in the United States here right in Greenville. So I'm with you. I'm excited about the basketball season coming up. I'll be excited to see if the Celtics can get things right. My beloved Mean Green, if they can get Gordon Hayward going and if Kyrie can get everybody together and the Celtics make a run for the playoffs and hopefully an Eastern Division championship and get on with it. But I hope everybody enjoys. Life is short. And it goes by way too fast. I can't believe my oldest daughter is now 14. My youngest daughter is getting ready to turn 8 this December. And I hope everybody uses this time. You know, there's been a lot of division and harsh words, even among family members over the political landscape. And I hope that, you know, the holidays are a time that we can put all of that stuff and enjoy sports, enjoy our relationships that we have. Because let's be honest, that stuff in the grand scheme of things doesn't amount to a hill of beans In 100 years, it ain't going to matter. You know, but what will matter is family and friends and those relationships that we develop and then that we argue over and talk about over the holiday season. And I hope each one of your teams out there does the absolute best. I believe the media is really pulling that the college football playoff is Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan. I think that's what they are hoping
for. It seems like that's what they want. It does seem that way.
Now, a lot of the media, some of the media does not want Notre Dame involved at all. But my thing is, would the playoff be as interesting if it's Washington State? I mean, the only other way that it's interesting is if it's Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Michigan. That's it. Anybody else that's in the playoff other than Oklahoma or Notre Dame, it doesn't mean anything. It's not going to be as compelling as if those schools are there. Now, I can promise you this. Everybody in the state of Alabama, and I hope Sturge talks about this when he follows us, I guarantee you everybody in the state of Alabama hoping Michigan makes it as that fourth seed. The whole state of Alabama wants a piece of Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. That is bad blood that goes back 2 or 3 years. And as long as Tua is healthy, the Crimson Tide and the faithful, they are clamoring to get a part of Jim Harbaugh in Michigan.
You know, if that happens, I'm going to have to borrow a jersey from Sturge because I'll be rolling Tide all the time.
Oh, you will?
Oh, yeah. I've never been opposed to Alabama
now
anyway.
Now, that is fact. You would actually pull for Alabama
over
against
Michigan? Oh, yeah. I'll pull for anybody against Michigan. Come on.
And I thought you were a closet Michigan fan.
That was very hurtful.
Thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you to all of our sponsors, which we've got too many to name. Thank you, of course, to Lonzo, who is the best in the business on the board. And ultimately, thank you to all of our listeners. It's because of you. You make ESPN Upstate the 3-time number one sports talk show in the state of South Carolina. This has been Josh Phillips with The Huddle at ESPN Upstate. God bless you all.